Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Happy hump day. We got a lot going on. Zion Williamson debuts tonight. The Bulls are in action. Blackhawks dropped a tough one last night. That's why when you have those long losing streaks or those long droughts and you bury yourself at or near the bottom of the conference, it gets very tough to start making up the requisite number of points to make the playoffs. I mean, they're back in the chase, only three out, but they really can't afford to go too many more games without a point. You need a point or two almost every night. They lost to the Panthers last night. They also welcomed back Joel Quenneville, and I'm sure Q left the building extremely happy winning that game. You know he wanted that more than anything. He played his best goalie in back-to-back nights. That doesn't happen very often anymore in the NHL, let's face it. You know, the days of the Patty Waz and the Marty Brodeurs playing for, you know, it's
playing 70-some-odd games.
Just like all sports, right, Yurk? I mean, yeah. or Glenn Hall. Remember the Glenn Hall streak that he had, the great legendary Blackhawk, or Tony Esposito, all the games he played. Like all sports, things evolve, things change. They want to rest players, and goalies don't really play back-to-backs anymore. How badly did Q want to win last night? It was the second of a back-to-back. He played Bobrovsky, who's played much better lately after struggling early in the year, and they signed him to a massive contract in the offseason. I thought he was very good and very sharp last night. His rebound control was excellent. The Blackhawks lose, and now you sit and wait, and hopefully they do something productive with this time, and they come out storming. In the second half, because, again, they just can't afford too many games where they get shut out and don't get a point. Very disappointed that NBC Sports Chicago did not air the Joel Quenneville video tribute. They said it was just an error on their part, that they will never make a mistake like that again. I hope not. Obviously, it didn't sneak up on them. This was one that had been circled for a while. You knew the tribute was going to happen. I don't buy for a second that the Blackhawks told them not to do it. That would be ridiculously petty and silly. I'm just not buying it. So whatever happened over there happened, yeah. But it was an error on the part of the folks at NBC Sports Chicago, and they apologized with a statement after
the
game.
Who owns them?
The Blackhawks own a portion of them.
Right. The Blackhawks own a portion with the other three teams in town, not including the Chicago Cubs.
Correct.
The Bears are a part of it. The White Sox are a part of it, and the Bulls are part of it.
Are the Bears
right?
a part of it? Really?
I'm asking.
I doubt it.
Are the Bears a part of it? They've got Bears programming over there.
Well, they do, but I think that's just because you have to program the Bears if you're going to do sport, right?
I think it's just the White Sox.
I think it's Cubs, White Sox, and Bulls.
Yeah. I don't think the
Okay, those
Bears
three
are.
Properties. So, the Blackhawks own
part of it.
Interesting.
You really think they'd be that
petty? Do I think they could be that petty? Certainly they could be.
It's silly.
Certainly they could be. Absolutely they could be.
Man.
Who released the video of Sammy Sosa leaving the clubhouse?
The Cubs.
Early.
John
Who did that?
John McDonough.
Okay. Why would they be that petty? Isn't that what you're going to ask yourself? Why would they be that petty?
Good recall.
Why would they do this? Why would they do? But yet they've done it in the past. Why would they do this? Really? Come on.
Well, shame on them if that's the case.
Let's not automatically just say, hey, this is the way it was. And this, not necessarily. You know how these things are planned. I've seen the sheet before an NFL game. Everything is planned down to the second.
Everything.
Everything. The flyby. Everything.
Everything.
Absolutely planned all the time. You think when they go into that game, that thing is directed. It's produced. It's got things happening left and right. Are you telling me you don't think they didn't know?
No, of course
that
they knew.
There was some sort of oversight in the situation?
Well, I agree with you that they absolutely knew it didn't sneak up on them. Now who's at fault? Or
I can't lambast any said individual. I can't sit here. But was it done intentionally? You're damn straight it was done intentionally.
Well, you think so?
Yes.
It wasn't an
it's no accidental
accident.
Oversight. It was put exactly where it was going to put because that's the way they wanted it to be done.
Well,
period. Any oversight, any apologies this morning are crap.
Well, shame,
I'm not listening to them.
Shame on them. Because Joel Quenneville deserved to be recognized.
Absolutely.
Joel Quenneville didn't leave here. You fired him. I don't even see the point of taking that approach where, wow, we're not going to air it. We're going to stick it to him. It doesn't make any sense. Joel Quenneville didn't stick it to you. Maybe he did last night in the standings. You fired him. He deserved to be recognized, and not just in that stadium. For the millions of Hawks fans that were watching on television last night, like me, like you, like a lot of people in this building and everywhere else, we deserve to see it. And in our own little way, from our couch in our living room or the bar you were at, you deserved, he deserved your adoration for a moment.
Yes, human beings.
We should have seen that video.
Human beings are capable of anything, Carm.
Well,
good, bad,
I agree with
horrific, exceptional, kindness. It's all there, Carm. The full spectrum.
There were no problems during the Kaner celebration.
No,
and Kaner deserved to be recognized.
Of course he did.
That's an incredible accomplishment. For crying out loud, there's only four guys in the history of the franchise that have reached that milestone. There's only 90 guys in the history of the league that have reached that milestone.
Who's they blaming over there? Who's the fall guy?
I
some security
know.
Guard?
Said he knows
some
that he's not going to. No, he said he's not going to throw the guy or girl under the bus. No. He's not going to do that. Somebody, they were all prepared to carry it, and somebody made a mistake. That's what Cap said. He works there. He knows people
and
there.
And once they realized they were gone, they couldn't bang out of it?
And well, do a makeup? I think that's why when it happened, you guys notice how it kind of awkwardly came back, and like there were already people standing ovation going on for Coach Q. Like,
yes.
I think they tried to get as much as they possibly could.
So maybe they did make a mistake and they realized, okay, we got to get back to it so people can see Q accepting the ovation and waving to the crowd.
I love the question you asked right at the beginning of this. Could they be so petty?
Well, I do have to ask that question because it's crazy to me.
Sammy Sosa would answer, yes, they can.
I didn't even think about
that. Yes, they can be that petty. That's what his answer would be.
But weren't they more... At the time, like they were very down. They were very down on Sammy. They had soured on Sammy, and I guess in a way that was the case with Joel. But
did they sour on Joel to fire him?
But Yerk, it was so different than Sammy Sosa.
Okay, it was different but the same. I'll agree with you. It's different, but it's the same.
God, that is like, and I guess people are capable of anything.
Sure, they are.
You're right, especially powerful people.
Yes.
You know, like they can be petty and they are capable of anything and they want to feel like they're in control. And if that were the case, I say to you, shame on you. Plain and simple.
And that's where I can leave it.
Yeah, and I can too.
Shame on you. All parties have moved on.
Sylvie, why don't Sylvie, we're talking yesterday about the statue. That, like, do you have to separate... are Taves and Kane going to be so special that they each get their own? Because here was my idea. Hear me out real
quick.
Because Sylvie and Waddle were talking about this yesterday. The Michael statue stands alone, and rightfully so. Okay? Like, that truly is the house that Michael built.
Right.
You know? The United Center. And where they've moved it inside the atrium, it's awesome.
Never to be pooped on again.
I've lived here my entire life. I've lived in Chicago, the surrounding area, the Chicago suburban area. This is my home for my entire life. Never went away to college, nothing. It's here. And when I go back to that stadium, I still find myself, kind of like no matter what, Yurko, no matter how many times I see the Willis Tower, I'll call it the Willis Tower, I guess. You know, it's been a long time. I still always kind of have a tendency to look up. I've seen it a million times.
We all do. Same thing with the Hancock Building.
Yeah, you kind of look up.
When I'm on Lakeshore Drive.
It's a feat of engineering.
Yes.
And like Will Ferrell says, I made the Eiffel Tower out of steel and brawn. I'm mad. Like, look what we've created, right?
That's exactly it.
I look at it and I go, wow, look what we've achieved. And I go to the United Center and I still look at the Jordan statue and I say, wow. And every time I'm there with my kids, I say, get by the Jordan statue. I'm like, I'm a tourist. And I'm taking a picture.
Snap a picture.
This is my home. I worked at that stadium.
What's your idea, Carm?
For a million years.
What's your idea?
I've been there a million times.
What's your idea?
I think it should be Q holding the cup and Taves and Kane flanking him on each side. That's what I think the statue should be. Kind of like the Hall and Makita statue. How it's the two of them. They're synonymous with an entire era of Blackhawk hockey, the 60s and the 70s. They made it popular in this town. They revolutionized the way the game is played. And there's a great tribute to Hall and Makita outside the building. I think the statue should be Q holding it up and Taves and Kane on each side of him.
I'm going to go with Taves and Kane together.
Okay.
By themselves. And my idea of Q coming out of the wall, like Han Solo, is still there.
I don't get that.
Like,
why
that
do you want him coming out of carbonite?
No, but not carbonite necessarily, but coming out of a wall, like inside, outside one of the gates, or right at one of the entrances. There he is with his hands on his little guys.
Well, they're never going to
I think they should. That's an iconic moment.
They can't
in Joel Quenneville history, where he's sitting there telling the ref, hey, right here.
They can't do it.
I think they should. Coming, and it's out of the wall. He's coming out of the wall. I think that'd be perfect.
Is it somewhere around the Taves and Kane statue, or is it just
no? Taves and Kane are outside getting pooped on by pigeons.
They're outside. Okay.
Yeah. Q's is inside.
I think Taves, Kane, and Q should be.
And where's Pippen's statue at? Inside,
it's inside.
Right?
And then maybe people say, well, what about Hosen? What about Keith? And like, I get it. But to me, it's Taves, Kane, and Q. That those three should be memorialized forever.
I can tell you this about Hosa. His statue would be the hardest working statue in the business.
I agree with you there, York. Andy's in New Lenox on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
Yeah. How you doing, guys?
Two-way statue. We're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So I just wanted to comment on the Blackhawks video tribute thing. So I work for the Bulls. I produce for their G League games for Windy City.
Yeah.
Right.
And so basically what happens sometimes is when you put a video together, you have to put it together for the Jumbotron. If you know it's going to be on the Jumbotron, that's how you basically put all the specifications for the Jumbotron.
Right, you got a format.
So what I'm saying is there was a possibility that they put it up on the Jumbotron, and then while they were trying to get it onto the broadcast itself, something went wrong. And then obviously you miss your time. I mean, you're not going to just show it in the third period just because, you know, it feels out of place. So sometimes things like that happen. Obviously,
Does that explain them going to commercial?
Well, I mean, it can, because if you have if they had that being like the spot where the video is supposed to play and the video is not working, okay. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're not going to sit there for a minute of blackness.
Okay.
I mean, you got to go to commercial at that point. So you miss your time to do it, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know, you're kind of scrambling. So I can understand. I mean, to me, it's kind of like a lack of preparation. I mean, if you know you're going to be doing this video, you should know that you're going to have it on the broadcast. So I'm not really trying to make excuses, but that was the first thing that popped into my mind, was maybe it just wasn't ready to be on the broadcast, and they only had it ready for the Jumbotron.
It gives us something to think about. Andy, thank you, buddy.
Andy,
we appreciate it.
A lack of professionalism.
A few more people want to chime in on this. We'll take some more of your calls coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
In a row with Rush.
How about that?
Nice. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Don't forget to wrap the week with us up the street. We're in the city this Friday, everybody. It's the penultimate Football Friday stop of the 2019 NFL season. We are at Public House just up the street here on State Street, a couple blocks north of the river. Come by and see us noon to 2 on Friday.
I'm going to buy you a drink.
That's good, and then I'll reciprocate, okay?
Beautiful.
That sounds good. We'll have some lunch. It's going to be fun. We'll see you there on Friday. Kick off the weekend with us. And then next Friday, right before the Super Bowl, 1 week from this Friday, we're going to be for our last stop at one of our favorites, an oldie but a goodie, Twin Peaks, right there on 22nd in Oakbrook Terrace, just west of Route 83. So two more for you.
There's a Party City right across the way from Yes. Twin Peaks that has great dollar cheap candy as well.
That's what you get.
That's what you
get. About American.
Now, did you get the story that I mentioned to you last night about the Oakbrook Terrace mayor resigning?
I did not.
Hanging up the cleats.
I'll catch up on that.
Tony Ragucci.
Tony Ragucci.
Tony Ragucci.
All right.
The reason why you brought that up to Carmen?
He just hung up the cleats. That's what I'm saying. He resigned.
Hung up the cleats.
I don't know the specifics about it, any implications and allegations. I have no idea. All I know is that Tony Araguchi
has
retired.
This Friday, when we are at Public House, we're finally going to pull a winner from our 2017 Monday night contest, our cover two. Merck, how many people qualified it out of all 17 weeks?
I'll have to go back, but it's not many.
Six or seven?
Yeah, we didn't have many winners.
Well, it's hard to hit the cover two. That's why parlays are tough. What do I always tell you guys?
They're always tough, guys.
So we had like six or seven people qualify by hitting the cover two, by hitting the parlay. We'll pull one winning name on Friday, and then we'll announce the big prize.
I'm excited about that.
Let's say hi to Jim in Hawthorne Woods on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Nice job on your anniversary yesterday, by the way.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You know, the big celebration is going to be at the 11 and a half sometime during the summer. There's going to be a celebration.
Hey, you know, I've been a season ticket holder for, oh my God, 30 some odd years, and I try to watch a lot of the games. Usually, anytime they do a celebration like a caner at the beginning of the game, silver stick if you reach 1,000 games, that's always done at the beginning of the game. Anytime it's something like they do a tribute video, it's always on the first time out, which is at the 6-minute mark or the 13-minute mark in the period.
Mm-hmm.
It's always done there. Trust me, when I watch the game, I'd love to see it, but you never see them if you're sitting on the couch.
Yeah, well,
there's just no time. There's no time to show it during the game. I mean, it's a timeout regulated by the network.
This one's different, though. Jim, thanks. It's Comcast, NBC Sports Chicago is well aware. They had planned on putting it on. That was the right. That was it.
Yes, that was the game
and
plan.
And they said afterwards they were sorry that they screwed it up. So who knows? All right, we'll take one more call, and then, like Yerk said, we'll move on. All right, we'll move on from it. Jim's in Mokena. What's up, Jim?
Hello, boys. This thing, Yerko, you are right. I worked for that organization for 14 years. They'll throw you out on your keister in a minute. And let me tell you something. This screams Stan Bowman. Stan Bowman does not want Dale Talon or Joel Quenneville to get one little pat on the back. And I think him and Daddy went to McDonough and said, appease the fans, show it, but tell them they can't put it on TV.
That's so
and
silly.
That crap that other guy from New Lenox said about not being able to put it on. How come when they show Harry Carey on the scoreboard at Wrigley Field, they just put the camera right on the jumbotron?
Well, you could always do that. Yeah, he might have had something about the way it's formatted for TV, but yeah, you could always point a camera in a pinch at the screen at the jumbotron and just show it that way.
It's come, it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. All right, it could have been perfect. It could have been better. It wasn't.
We
just the whys, the ifs, and the maybes are just out there.
And the song choice. I mean, like, I love how we've done this deep dive.
No one likes to be hated like I do. Really? Listen to the lyrics of that song.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man.
Here's a salute to you.
To be the sad man.
Our bad sad man.
Behind the blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated
by Stan Bowman.
To be faded
by Papa Bowman.
Telling only lies.
Oh, so what is that? What is he was doing? He was telling lies?
I don't know. He does have blue eyes, I guess. He got those steely blue eyes.
Might be the only thing that they had right.
Did Cap say his wife picked that song?
Yes.
Or that was just a guess?
No, he said a little birdie told him that the wife is who selected the song.
Okay.
Because it's her favorite song and it's his favorite song.
All right.
Big fans of Neymar and Marcelo outside right now.
We've got some folks from Brazil.
Welcome to the United States. Enjoy your time in Chicago.
How do you say welcome in Portuguese?
Well, I have no idea. I don't speak Portuguese.
Neither do I. I wish I did. I'm sorry, boys.
Good to see you guys.
Welcome to Chicago.
How about that?
We got
Brazilians outside.
We get everybody outside the First Midwest Bank.
First
State
time
Street
I ever
studio.
Even thought about a Brazilian, obviously, our guy, the Pelé.
Pelé.
Eduardo Armientos de Nascimento Jr.
Obrigado. That's how you say
obrigado
in Portuguese.
There we go.
I should know that. I've been to Portugal. I remember saying
Oscar.
That.
Remember the basketball player Oscar? Absolutely fantastic. We loved Oscar when he was playing.
I would like to ask him, what are you coming to Chicago for in January if you're from Brazil?
Now it's the summer in Brazil. They didn't know.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
You know?
What are you thinking?
You can't come to Chicago if you're from Brazil in January.
What's the big match in Brazil when they have these two soccer teams play each other? I think it's River Plate against somebody. I'm going to have to look it up, though.
Look that up.
That's a derby, Carm. That's a derby.
Can you do that in a timeout?
I'm going to do it in 6 timeouts. Yes, I will.
Let me update the Twitter poll here. Go to my Twitter timeline, at Carmen DeFalco. You can vote on the poll for today. Zion Williamson's NBA debut is tonight. Will you make it a point to watch at least a portion of the game? 60% of the audience saying no. I'm a little surprised at that. Chris, you will seek it out tonight, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to. I mean, he was the biggest story in basketball last year.
Yeah.
He was the biggest story. It's going to be fun to watch.
He was. I know he's going to play 20 minutes. I mean, I get it. It's not going to be much, but
I'll check it out. You want to see the athleticism.
Yeah.
You want to see him move. You want to see that big body get up and down the court the way it did last year. I understand why you guys are taking a look at it, and I understand why everybody wants to see if, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is this kid, was he worth it? Let's see it. Let's see a little bit of it.
The Bulls have the T-Wolves at home tonight. They're a pick 'em against the T-Wolves. How are the T-Wolves not better with the talent. Well, like, how is, how are they not better well, with Carl Anthony Towns? Well,
let's run it down. Run down the roster for me.
Carl Anthony Towns has been hurt most of the year.
That's part of the problem, Carm. I mean, I'm not watching a ton of T-Wolves basketball on the side. I've
barely seen them.
You know, I've got enough with all the soccer teams that I'm watching.
They're brutal, right? I mean, they got like 15 wins. I've barely seen them play this year. But still, just in general, how are they not better over the last couple of years with the talent they have? Let's see. Towns has missed. How many games has Towns played? He's missed 20. He's only played in 26 games. So he's missed, what, 12 games, 15 games so far at this point?
Yeah, probably 17, 18 games if you had to guess, Carm. Yeah.
They traded Jeff about Teague, 44. Right? Didn't they trade Jeff Teague?
Yeah, to the Hawks.
They moved him out to the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, yeah, I mean, their problem is a problem that we're kind of looking at here in Chicago. Is Andrew Wiggins a top flight player?
Is he as good as everybody thought?
Yeah, or is he just a talented player with lots of potential who never lives up to it?
Right. Like, Andrew Wiggins looked like he was going to be a star. And now, when you think about his career, especially the last couple of years, and I think
the career trajectory.
Well, having Jimmy there probably didn't help him, but, like, is he really as good as we thought? Probably not. He's kind of like Zach LaVine in that way a little bit. You know, pretty could score.
That's exactly what I was pointing to.
Is that what he is? Like, he's Zach LaVine.
He's averaging 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, but they don't win.
Right. He can score and he can fill up the box score a little bit, but can they win games? Now, he's not much of a defensive player. You know, never really has been. Can they win games because of him? Probably not. They could be in some games. He'll fill up the box score, but are you really winning because of him? And that's the problem the Bulls are facing with that.
Isn't this the chance for the Bulls to beat a bad team?
Well, sure, yeah.
So if they do that, should be jumping for joy.
That's all they beat. They can't beat the 500 teams. They beat everybody else. They're a pick-em. Maybe you take the Bulls as a pick-em.
Is there a ton of Zach LaVine for the All-Star Game buzz out there?
I think, look, it's here in Chicago. I mean, you know, Zach's probably played well enough to be an All-Star.
Yeah, throw him a bone. So he's a top 12 player. 12 guys make the All-Star team for 15.
I don't know.
Is he a top 12 player in the
Eastern Conference?
In the Eastern Conference? Is that what you're telling me? A top 4 guard? Mm. He's a top 4 guard in the Eastern Conference.
Like, he does score. He does one thing very well. I mean, guy averages 25 a game. There aren't many guys in the league that can do that.
Mine's a simple question. Is he a top 4? And if he is a top 4 guard, then he's an ace. He's a one. If he's a top 4 guard in the NBA, he's a one for this team. And there needs to be more expectations for this basketball team because they do have a stud then.
I mean, Kyrie's barely played this year, but I mean, who's better? Of course, Kyrie's a better guard. I mean, like, does that matter, though, in the number of games played? Should that factor into your, I don't want to say eligibility, your deservedness, right. I guess, I think, making an All-Star team?
I think it's more simpler. Do we not then, if Zach LaVine deserves to be in the All-Star game this year, then what I'm telling you, he is a true number one on your basketball team, and you need to find a way to build around him.
No.
Then there should be no talk about him going to an All-Star game.
Is he going to do the dunk contest? Did he decide?
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't decided yet? I wonder if he'll do that. He did it once before. Did he win that? I think he might have won that.
I mean, you can't be an All-Star.
Yeah, I think he's won it twice.
He's won it twice?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
You can't be an All-Star and not be a stud.
Oh, that's not true.
I think it is. Name me Bulls players that have been
there. Trubisky was an All-Star last year.
That's but apples to oranges,
all right, because I mean, a million guys bail.
Football, the ninth quarterback can make it some years.
That's true. Because all the guys bail.
Stay with the NBA. NBA players actually like going to their All-Star game. In the NFL, nobody cares. Once they moved it out of Hawaii, nobody cares about the All-Star game.
Well, it's after the season for everybody. You know, the two teams are playing in the Super Bowl, obviously. But, like, yeah, the guys don't want to go back to that normally, right?
No, unless it's Hawaii. You got a chance to take the family out to Hawaii, go through a couple of walkthroughs, collect $25,000, $30,000 for playing in the game.
I mean, in the East, who'd be ahead of them? Certainly Trae Young.
Well,
about guards?
So Trae Young and Kyrie will probably get voted in as the starters.
Kyrie's going to get voted. He hasn't played much this year.
But I mean, we're talking about guards. Yes, absolutely.
So then Kemba?
Oh, yeah, Kemba's going to go.
What do you do with Ben Simmons?
He's a guard that's better. Do they consider Middleton a guard, or is he more of a three?
Middleton's
probably
as well.
is better, I would say.
Then you have Derrick Rose, Kyle Lowry, Jaylen Brown, Bradley Beal.
Beal's maybe a little bit of a better scorer, but they're similar. Neither guy can stop anybody. They're similar guys.
Right. So if you're only going based on stats, Beal's stats,
they're better.
Scoring-wise, he scores more per game than Zach LaVine. So.
Yeah.
And I get it. Both teams stink.
Both teams are awful.
Both are bad on defense.
And that's why when a player like that is your best player, you're probably not going to win a lot of games. And no disrespect meant to Zach. I know that it's hard to understand that, and it certainly sounds like it. He's a fine player. But you're not going to probably win many games when he's got to be your best player. And who the hell knows what's happened to Lauri Markkanen? And that's why they are where they are right now. They're trying to be carried by Zach LaVine. That's not going to work that much. And they've got one win against teams with a winning record. It's crazy. Field Yates coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, it's Wednesday, so we're getting there, Yurk. We still got a week and a half. But before you know it, it'll be Super Bowl Sunday. Thank goodness.
I'm still taking a deep breath from the two games that happened on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
Still analyzing a little bit of what happened so I can get a better understanding of what might happen come next Sunday.
Still looking at about a one-point spread here. Kansas City laying a point total of somewhere around 53.5, 54 for Super Bowl 54 in Miami 1 week from Sunday. It's Carmen and Yurko live in our first Midwest Bank State Street Studios. Out to our guest line, we say hi to one of our favorites, Field Yates.
Field Yates on Carmen and Yurko.
Sometimes people do things in fantasy football emotionally and interest-wise, right?
NFL and fantasy football talk with Field Yates every week on Carmen and Yurko.
What if there's a 5% chance that he does play at a high level, a top 12 quarterback level? This is your one chance to take advantage of it.
ESPN's Field Yates on ESPN 1000.
I used to, for a long time, play in a fantasy league that went all the way through the Super Bowl year because it was a playoff league. And what happens is if your fantasy team made the playoffs, every January, the teams that made the playoffs got back together, just like draft night in August, and there was a draft for all the players that were on teams that didn't make the playoffs. You follow. And that was a fun league. That was Harry's, that's Don and Tony's league.
Yes.
I used to be in that league with Harry Tynowitz. Me and Ernie Scanton for years split a team in that league.
The Blitalians.
The Blitalians. We did quite well in that league a time or two. Boy, if you have Patrick Mahomes, whether you're in a kind of league like that and you had him and you made your playoffs, or he by some chance was on a team that missed and you got lucky enough to draft him, he's collecting some stats for you. What about Raheem Mostert?
Yeah,
he's collecting some stats for you.
Racking them up.
Sometimes you didn't always want the guys that were on bye, though, because you wanted to accumulate as many stats as possible. There's his own unique strategy that goes into that. Field Yates is an NFL expert, and he is a fantasy guru, and he joins us now. You ever play in any of those leagues that go all the way through the Super Bowl?
I have never played in a league, believe it or not, where it went or began during the regular season and went all the way through the Super Bowl. I have played in postseason-only leagues, which sounds alike what you're talking about,
right?
But I've never the pool of players that were in the league was never predicated upon who had survived the regular season. But I like the way you operate.
There you go. See, it's not a bad idea. So what do you first of all, I guess let's react a little bit to Sunday. I mean, and things that really stand out to you. I think the thing that stands out more than anything to all football fans is just how dominant the running game of the San Francisco 49ers is right now.
It is incredible. And I don't think any of us really have the emotional horsepower right now to get into a debate about football Twitter versus analytics football Twitter. But there are more than one way to skin the cat, guys. And in a league where we're used to quarterbacks rewriting record books every year now, where 4,000 passing yards is no longer an accomplishment, where there was a time where throwing for 3,000 yards in a season was considered an accomplishment, the 49ers are doing it a very, very different way. I mean, I don't know how to draw a parallel that resonates in sports. I suppose it would be like if an NBA team led by two dominant big men, like a center and a power forward, all of a sudden breezed through the Eastern or Western Conference. It just rung so counter to so much more of what many teams are being successful on.
Yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies tried that when they were good in the last, 5-6 years. And they were good in the regular season. They'd get to the playoffs, but that's where they'd always fall short, right? You know, because of exactly what you said, the way the game has changed so much. Now the question is also being asked, Field, like, can Jimmy G win them a game if he has to? I believe he can. I mean, he's had good passing days this year. I mean, is Kyle Shanahan, like, put the handcuffs on him, or is this just part of the design and he's confident that Jimmy can win a game for him if he has to by throwing the football?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I really do. I think it is possible that he can win a game for him if he needs to. And we're holding the fact that he hasn't needed to against him. When if we look closely at some of the games from this past season, well, they didn't really play that many games that were all that close. But the games that were, if you look at them, whether it was the first loss of the season to the Seahawks, not Jimmy's best night, but you know, there was also some context that was needed there. The 49ers were still going through some offensive line injuries. They had several injuries on the defensive side of the ball as well. That Ravens game, he went toe-to-toe for the most part with Lamar Jackson. I guess the entire team did. And then they took it to the Saints in New Orleans. So I've seen a few different instances where they have needed Jimmy Garoppolo to be really good, and he has been. And the reality is that they may not need him to be. I'm not forecasting a blowout, but there is at least a world that exists where they just overwhelm this 49ers team. I mean this Chiefs team. It's possible, and it may just be that the formula is different for them than it is for all other teams. And as much as people want to make this about the quarterback in every week and every game, like for the 49ers, it might not matter, which that's not an indictment on Jimmy Garoppolo. It's more a reflection of just how good the rest of their roster is.
Yeah, KC, can they come up with a superb defensive performance? I think what they did against Derrick Henry was okay.
Yeah,
looked like he was going to have success early. They got the lead. Then all of a sudden, you couldn't run the ball as much as maybe that you wanted to. But are they capable of an exceptional defensive performance?
I don't know. I don't know yet. They have been much, much better defensively, as we've all talked about, all of the different stats that suggest basically since they played the Titans the first time, they've been much better since then. My question would be whether they faced a team like the 49ers. And I don't want to say a rushing attack with the 49ers because they just faced Derrick Henry and they held him to -1 yard in the second half last week. But I don't know that they faced a team that is as explosive as the 49ers are. Even though the 49ers are also predicated upon running the football, I think all of us that watch them can agree they're a more explosive offense on the whole than the Titans. The Titans are more just smash you into the ground and then just give you a noogie and beat you by, you know, 14 points and sort of take out your will. The 49ers are very explosive offensively. I think this is the best team the Chiefs have seen, obviously defensively, but also offensively. So it'd be a great test to see where exactly that defense has come to. And obviously, if they don't win, some would argue it's all for naught.
Something that comes up here often, Field, is the idea that if Patrick Mahomes were a Bear, it wouldn't nearly be as good because he doesn't have the weapons, and that Trubisky would be equally as good in Kansas City. I find that hard to believe, and I do think when you put on the tape, you do see some things that show you Patrick Mahomes has a tremendous command of that offense. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I think there are times where quarterbacks are really aided by the circumstances, and there are times where a guy's just special, right? I mean, like, would we be talking about Aaron Rodgers in a different light if he went somewhere else, or Tom Brady, or Drew Brees, like Peyton Manning? Like, those guys are, you know, to borrow the phrase, like, what's the rising tide floats all boats? And that's Patrick Mahomes. And from a talent standpoint, guys, you know, it's hard. This is a hard thing for us to do, for me to do. It's really hard not to get into hyperbole with Patrick Mahomes this early. But, and I'm, maybe this is prisoner of the moment, maybe this is not, but I can't remember a quarterback that was as special at this young of an age in the ways that Patrick Mahomes is this special. Not even 25 years old, can beat you with his arm, can beat you with his legs. I'm asking this, and I don't ask it, I guess I am asking it rhetorically because I don't have an answer, but what does Patrick Mahomes not do well?
I don't know.
I don't have an answer, guys. I really don't. I don't have an answer. And certainly the weapons are great. They are great. But I guess I'll bet on Patrick Mahomes. And if that, you know, if somehow it's proven that, you know, if one day they trade Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and every other good player in their roster and Patrick Mahomes stinks, well, the joke's on me.
Right.
It ain't going to happen. And I'm just counting on the talent there.
The one thing that seemed to give them some trouble at different points of the year was the man-to-man. I mean, is it going to be, is that the one thing that, that Saleh and that the Niners try to do, or have they kind of figured that out? Like, they've won seven in a row, I think, at this point, so they're really hitting their stride. Like, is that the one defensive move that maybe San Francisco goes to, even though they don't play a ton of man? Do they have to play more man coverage against him?
Yeah, it's funny because the Chiefs last week leading up to the game were like, I dare you to play man-to-man against us to the Titans. It's like, we don't think we can be covered man-to-man. I think if you look back at the teams that have given the Chiefs relative fits during the time that Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback, I think the simple answer is to get home with four rushers, mm-hmm. which is something that 49ers can do. I think you got to look even deeper than that. And it was just a half because they exploded in the second half. But if you look back to the AFC Championship game last year, Bill Belichick and Brian Flores confused Patrick Mahomes. They just did. And it's hard to disguise a full game's worth of pressures that Patrick Mahomes is not going to be able to identify. But the Patriots, who had, obviously they've got great defensive personnel, but I think we can agree, their defensive personnel last year up front is inferior to what the 49ers have now, and they were able to keep Patrick Mahomes in check. When they played this year, they actually did a good job against Patrick Mahomes as well. So if I'm Robert Saleh, beyond all of the creative things that he can scheme up on his own, I'm going to glean some of that tape and some of the Broncos tape from this year. Two teams that, at least in the second matchup for the Broncos, did a relatively solid job of keeping Patrick Mahomes from just demoralizing them every single play. And it may not be enough, but that's the best bet based on what we've seen so far.
Phil, you going to Miami next week?
I'll be in Miami on Thursday, which looking forward to. And I think I saw some falling iguanas in Florida today because it's so cold. But
yes.
My weather sources tell me it should be much better by the time we arrive next week.
They're not dead. Just know that.
They
just fell.
All right. We'll talk to you next week and get more of a preview for the big game, all right?
All right, guys. Looking forward
to it. Thanks, Field. See you, buddy. That's Field Yates. He is at Field Yates on Twitter. Yurko, coming up, it was 10 years ago today, a big statement was made here in Chicago. Well, it was actually on the road, but it had something to do with Chicago. We go down memory lane next.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
This is that good pump you up music that we were talking about, remember here?
I'll get you started, kid.
Oh, my God, will it ever. Do you know what happened 10 years ago tonight?
10 years ago tonight, so we're talking about 2010.
January 22, 2010. It was a Friday. I was at Merkel's in Wrigleyville with some friends. It's a Friday night. Sound was down because... Does it really matter, like, what's happening on a Friday in a Bulls game the Bulls and the Phoenix Suns?
Was this night that Derrick Rose scored 74?
No, I don't think he ever scored 74, but it was the night Derrick Rose did this.
Lead pass,
Rose! Stop it! Did not do him like that! What are you doing, Dragons? Did you not get the memo? Derrick Rose can go upstairs!
Watch this.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he actually pumped this ball.
I want to go higher. Oh, my goodness. Dragic. Somebody grab Dragic's neck. Do you know who this kid is? He's from Chicago. He has a 40-inch vertical. Where's my poster machine? This is what I need, my poster machine. Where's it at?
The whole bar, like, that was why, again, the sound wasn't on, you know. It's a game in January, but the game's on the TV, and the music's playing, and those of us that were watching the game, I went, oh, like, you did that, you did one of those.
Yeah,
my God.
Like, you didn't want to get hurt.
Oh, remember when John Calipari told us his chin touches the rim? Like, that was it, man. That was Derek's second year. It was halfway through his second year. He would, you know, finish the season averaging about 21, 22 a game. And we knew by the end of that year that he was a star, you know? And it's a great call by Stacey when he says, what are you doing, Dragic? I always got a kick out of that. When I finally heard the highlight later and heard Neil and Stacey describe it.
Yeah.
But that's one of Derek's great moments. And that was 10 years ago tonight in Phoenix. Derek's still hanging on. Both guys still in the league. It's time for Whiskey Wednesday, Yurko. So pour yourself a dram tonight while you watch the Bulls. Maybe you're going to watch Zion a little bit. I don't know. Maybe there's some soccer you're taping now that you're going to watch later tonight after the kids go to bed.
Man U plays a little bit later against Brighton Hove Albion.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that a big one?
Oh, top notch.
Okay. Well, you can have yourself some whiskey. And Whiskey Wednesday with Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by the great folks at Bub City. Head to Bub next Sunday to watch the big game. Kansas City take on San Francisco. You got locations downtown and in River North. And in Rosemont. 24 flat screen TVs, barbecue, beer, whiskey specials, $5 drafts every Sunday, including the house favorite Bub City Gold, brewed by Moody Tongue. How about that? Don't forget about brunch and live music on the weekends. They've got everything for you. The food's delicious. The whiskey menu is awesome. Yurko and I tell you that all the time. We're going over there next Thursday to sample some stuff with Eric Rose and all the great folks at Bub City. So visit bub-city.com to learn more and reserve a table today. And if you go in, tell them Carmen and Yurko sent you and you want to try the whiskey of the week, which is their Weller Full Proof, their single barrel Weller Full Proof. Very hard to find the full proof, but it is available for you at Bub City. So go check it out. And what is full proof? That is not cut down with any water when they take it out of the barrel. I'm doing a full proof, a barrel proof bourbon for Whiskey Wednesday tonight on my Twitter timeline.
Are you?
So make sure you watch
teasing it
a little bit.
You know, me and Jake, you love to retweet that out to the world.
Yes, thank you for retweeting.
Jakey's 1,000 followers, man.
Hey,
it's a different brand. It's a different group of people.
Of course it is.
Just get them on board, Carm. I'll have him tweet out our IG page.
He should. Instagram. I like when Jake did his own version of Whiskey Wednesday one night, too. He should do that again.
Oh, did he ever.
He should do another one of those.
So, Jake, you may not want to play with 124 there, my friend.
Yeah. The one I'm doing tonight, you better be careful with.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what you're going to do tonight. Oh, don't want to guess, Carm. I'm not going to guess.
Very exciting. This hour with Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Get your fan 4-packs, including 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, and popcorn for one low price. The fan 4-pack starts at only $18 per ticket. Go to ChicagoWolves.com.
Carm, this is a stat from Sarah Langs.
She
works at NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah. MLB Network.
Which my bad.
Team? This is a baseball stat?
Yes, this is from her Twitter, which actually it's from Elias. She got it from Elias. But Derek Jeter played in 2,747 regular season games in his career. But he played just 4 games when the Yankees were already eliminated from playoff contention.
God.
Only one of those was at home, September 25th, 2014, his final home game where he hit a walk-off single.
That's crazy.
That's a pretty charmed life.
It is a charmed baseball life. You know, he played a full season of postseason games, guys.
160-some-odd games?
He played like 155, or I was looking the other day, 158 career postseason games.
By the way,
he played a whole season in the playoffs.
2022 is going to have two of the most interesting people to go up for the Hall of Fame.
A-Rod
and David Ortiz.
Ooh, yeah.
Because David Ortiz...
That's why they call him Big Poppy.
But he has a little, right?
He's got a little.
Yeah. But I mean, he's so beloved. His speech after what happened in Boston.
Boston strong.
Yeah. Those two. I mean, A-Rod has kind of rebuilt his image, right? I mean,
I think he has he's tremendously.
Remember, he's had a couple years now to talk to the writers. He's broadcasting a bunch of games. Maybe
that's probably why he did it, right? He's like, I better go get in the media. I got to butter these guys up. I got to talk to them. I mean, he's a big deal. He does that show about how athletes should invest their money and how not to blow through their money and stuff like that, right? Like, A-Rod's on a lot of platforms. He's become very popular, very likable after that scandal. And I'm sure that was partially orchestrated because they knew, hey, you're going to be up. And look at the way they've treated Bonds and McGuire and Palmeiro and Sosa. You got to get out in front of this. You know what Yurk and I think. Cap's on the other side. So Cap's not voting for A-Rod for the Hall? Wow. Jeez. I don't know. I'm sorry. A-Rod, I can't keep Alex Rodriguez out of the Hall of Fame.
I can't keep Sammy Sosa out of my hall, Carm.
Yeah, you love Sosa for some reason.
I love Sosa for some reason because I watched him play. I watched him hit 21 dongs out, kid, in the month of June one month.
That's
right.
That was 98.
The man hit 60 home runs 4 times.
Nobody's ever done that, I don't think.
I know what I know and I know what I see. And Sammy Sosa's the best player to ever don a Cubs uniform. Period.
I would debate that with you.
Well, you can go ahead and debate it all you want. Here, I give you. You do a podcast for an hour. You debate it, and I'm going to come in. I'm going to say Sammy Sosa's the best.
You want to do it with me?
You keep debating it. Go ahead.
I think Ernie Banks is the best player in Cubs history. Right?
I will not cry to you. Ernie Banks?
Yeah.
He's one of the best, yes, but Sammy Sosa's the best. I think you concur
what
with
about,
me.
What about, well, yeah,
Tinkers,
Maddox.
Evers,
no,
Chance.
I wasn't even going to go back that far. Do Maddox, we have anything to give away, Merck? Can I do a quick trivia question?
Maddox no, we don't
have anything to
no.
give away?
No.
By the way, Elijah Craig is my bourbon, my go-to bourbon, Elijah Craig.
You better watch tonight, kid.
Oh, you're kidding me. I wanted to tell you that because I had some, and it was so smooth.
Did you have the barrel proof?
No, I didn't. Yeah. But listen, Carm, it was so smooth. It was so silky. Right. I mean, silky.
Yeah, it's
Elijah
delicious.
Craig. If I exactly. if I get it at the bar, I sit down and I drink Elijah Craig.
Make sure you watch my video tonight.
I will.
We don't have anything to give away, Merck. I can't give away. What about a VIP for Friday, Merck? Merck, can I give away a VIP for Friday up the street at Publican? If you can make our broadcast
Public House.
At Publican, I'm sorry.
The hell's the Publican?
Publican's a different restaurant.
Yeah, Republican's really a different restaurant.
If you can make our broadcast at Public House for a Football Friday this coming Friday, VIP, all right, we'll treat you well. First correct caller. Yesterday, Larry Walker goes into the Hall. He's the second Canadian-born player to ever go into Baseball's Hall of Fame. Who's the other one? 312-332-3776. First caller wins. Crosstalk in 2 minutes.